Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long retreat. Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Chris. It's such a mouthful, isn't it? It requires us to pay attention to every word.
Exactly. Yeah. Always fun, though.
Yes, definitely.
All right, so our assignment from yesterday. What do you do to feel angry? All right, Ashwini, if you're ready for our first caller.
Yes, can't wait.
All right, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Ashwini and Chris, it's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hey. Let's see. I had fun with this one. I've had this whole wheel or circle that I've been working on. It's been similar, but anger or, you know, how, what do I do? And so it was really easy to see. I indulge stories, and they can be stories of like victimhood or righteous indignation or being right or outrage or pretty much any of those types of things will, if I indulge a story about that, it will always lead to suffering and to anger. And so that was kind of, in fact, I was thinking back to sort of what brought me to the monastery decades ago. And I was in a very angry story that I couldn't put down. And I knew that I didn't have to do that, but I didn't know how to get out of it. And so so anger is, there's nothing wrong with it, but it's really good to see how it happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, Karen, I love the way that you phrased that, and I love the way it was phrased in the exercise, which is, what do you do to get angry? It really clearly defines that what we're actually doing is listening to a story. That's what produces depression or whatever the words were around that wheel that we've been working with, that the story is what produces anger. And we can identify, as you did, the content of the stories that bring us to that place. And what the conditioned reaction to that is, we have to fix the content somehow, right? There's injustice or righteousness or whatever else. But what I think you're pointing to and what practice points us to is recognize that you're in a story. If you don't want to be in the story, the process practice is to shift the attention out of the story, not to stop getting angry, right?
And
that's what practice teaches us and also provides us the tools to look at what is beyond that anger. Because it's so easy to get stuck in the story and the content. And as we've seen, you know, anger is such a complex emotion in the sense of it's a secondary emotion. There's so much behind it that we can unpack that assists us to heal whatever it is that is beyond that. You know, disappointment, regret, grief, whatever it is. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And healing. I think it was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh who said that the line between anger and compassion is a hair's breadth, right? Because the energy of anger gets converted into compassion when we recognize the suffering behind the anger and we can bring that to the situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, what I unpacked it with was a TINW retreat. And just so thankful for that retreat because it really did transform my life. And then I think the gift that I discovered in all of that that I have never forgotten is that because I kept thinking kept thinking, I need to forgive, I need to let go, I need to, and what I realized in really unpacking it and looking at it and all of that was that there is truly nothing to forgive, because, you know, it's just, they're just at the bottom of forgiveness, there's nothing to forgive. There's just, you know, it's just humans act out of conditioning. I know what that's like. I was acting out of conditioning, you know, and it's, and I think the big thing is that to forgive myself for not seeing, and just that there was nothing to forgive. There was just nothing there, really, when I kind of took it all apart.
Oh, wow. That's such a powerful insight, right, Karen, that I project that the anger is caused by accusations, which produce reactions, right? Accusations that there's something wrong with the circumstances, with you, with the way the other person. So it's a conversation of separation. And to recognize through that process of there's nothing wrong with you, that that's just how ego is. And the compassion that arises in being able to disidentify from the story and recognize the process, and therefore be in the acceptance of this is just the human condition when we're identified with this program. And we act out of it in unskillful ways that cause some level of harm. But we have the choice when we see that that's the case to make a different to act differently, and there's nothing wrong with any of it. It's just how it is. And so the forgiveness I project you're talking about is the recognition that the ego is a limited perspective, and from a limited perspective, we are limited.
Yes. Yeah. And it seems like there's something to forgive. And even that
and there's nothing.
There's
nothing to forgive. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's anyway, so powerful to recognize, because the forgiveness implies you were the cause of something, or someone else was the cause of something. It's the Aldous Huxley self-report approach is painful, but it keeps the self alive. But to get to the place that you're talking about, where there is no self-reproach required because there is no self to forgive, then that self is also being maintained in the system, and forgiveness is part of that equation.
Yeah.
Implies something is wrong. Something could have been different.
Yeah. So anyway, I was very grateful to come to practice with that, because it seemed like it was huge. By the time I came to the monastery decades ago, I'd say it had kind of turned into an obsessive story that I was sick of and I didn't want to listen to in my head. Mm. And to just be able to, you know, thank you, practice, because I've never had anything like that again, you know, occur. Mm-hmm. That, because once you see a process like that, I've never had anything like that again that I've had to face. Not that I might not. I'll never say never that I couldn't get caught up in anger, but nothing like that again after. And so anyway, a huge chunk of suffering just dropped away. So,
And that seems to be, thank you. And that seems to be how it goes. You know, we see it, we practice with it, we let it go, and our relationship with that process is never the same again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Karen.
Anyway, very, very fun to look at. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thanks, Karen. Ashwini, it does seem to be that there's nothing wrong with you. Retreats are great for unpacking those kinds of processes like anger. You know, especially in the way that you were talking about it. So there's the way anger presents, and all that emphasis on content, and below it there's all this other stuff going on. If we never take the time to really look at that, then it becomes really hard to just be dealing with it all the time in a surface kind of a way.
Yeah. We don't understand that the extent of the self-hate that's operating. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All right, let's hear from our next person. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Well, that last conversation kind of pointed at something that I was looking at, because when I first looked at this exercise, conditioning read it to me as, what do you do when you feel angry?
Uh-huh.
And then, like, I was working with that for a few months. Like, oh, it doesn't seem right. So I read it again. It's like, oh, okay, well, that seems more what we're looking at. But, you know, what it pointed at was that is where conditioning wants my attention, right? So if the point of my focus starts after I'm already identified and angry, then it's already got me. Because I'm to blame at that point, right? Because nothing else will ever happen.
That's such a subtle and yet powerful insight, that the structure of how the exercise was interpreted, because you were paying attention, actually allowed you to see how you're controlled around anger, that the identification has already happened. And this happens to us all the time. It's just how it is, right? The identification has happened. We wake up into how we feel and what we do, and we feel bad about it. It's actually way past the point where we could do anything about it, because the place where we're talked into going unconscious has already happened.
Yeah, exactly. And as I was looking at the exercise with the correct language, that it was just so clear that when I am being angry, that there's all this stuff that's already happened, right? So that, you know, there's not, well, primarily is that I've been unconscious to what's been going on. So, like, there's like a focus, you know, often it's like on content. It isn't going the way someone wants it to go. And that goes unnoticed, and someone's not seeing that, and so they start, you know, essentially banging their head against, you know, the thing over and over again to try and make it work, not realizing that this is all being done in unconsciousness. And of course it just builds up, because there's someone there who is, you know, at some level is just earnestly trying to attempt something, not realizing that they're doing it from a place of identification.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I love that progress you laid out, right, Bob? Because so what happens is that there's someone in that process. If you look at it in a process map, there's someone in the middle of that process that is being moved along on an unexamined assumption. Okay, I want to do this, but it's not going to go that way, and what you're talked into, the bamboozle you're talked into, is that it's possible for it to go that way. And so because the lie hasn't been seen, that person does everything possible because they're coming from that perspective of this is possible, and not recognizing actually that what they're trying to do is not possible, and then getting frustrated at the end of it. I mean, it produces such a level of compassion for that person, because it's all good intentions and right effort, right? But from the wrong assumption.
Right. And all the energy going into maintaining the system rather than getting here, having the energy go towards, so what am I seeing, and what's possible, and what do we want to do next, and all that.
Yeah.
And I had this experience yesterday where, I was sort of kind of gotten off of line yesterday for something I had planned, and there was planning for that. So, like, I knew I was going to do that, and so there was a plan all around that to support that. And then, you know, in the middle of the day, I noticed this little kind of thing, like, oh, man, I feel like I'm falling behind, and I need to do X, and this thing's not getting done. And then because there was someone who had brought consciousness before that ever arose, I was like, oh, well, no, this was our plan, to not be productive today, to not stand up with things. Let's do that. That was somebody?
Shwini, did we lose you? There you are.
No, I got muted suddenly. That I was just laughing, right, Bob, because I think catching the bamboozle in action, which is knowing that we're talked into an assumption that is not so, allows us to apply that insight to a change of behavior, which is to create the support system, knowing what was going to happen, that would assist you not to fall for the lie. And then watching how the conditioning was trying to manipulate you into a situation which was not how it is, catching it out and refusing to go with it really allows us to be less frustrated. Because I project the frustration we almost all of us feel is the effort of wanting it to be different than it is and recognizing somehow the futility of it without actually being present to that fact.
Right. Yeah.
Banging the head against the wall is a good way of describing it.
Yeah. Or having it banged for you, right, by conditioning.
Yes. But, having your head banged against the wall. Exactly. Yeah.
But you know, the kind of what you just said just made me kind of think, it's like, well, but if attention is on awareness and that's supported by practice, by someone practicing, it's just such a kinder, more compassionate, way to approach it all.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Because the likelihood that we are going to go unconscious to how it is prevented. So we don't come out at the end of the process where we're feeling angry and frustrated and having to dig ourselves out of the well after we've expended all of this energy of frustration and suffered so much.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to get off and let someone else have an opportunity. Thank you so much, and go happy.
Thanks, Bob. Take care.
All right, thank you, Bob. Shwini, that was very fun, and what was dropping in for me was that putting an illusion in charge of reality is bound to be frustrating.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways about it, that almost always the tasks that conditioning puts us up against are impossible to do. So to try and do the right thing, to be in control, you know, all of those things are just impossible to do.
Well, yes, and it does maintain the illusion that I can somehow orchestrate something, and therefore if I'm not able to rearrange the world according to how I think it should be, there's something wrong with me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the definition of banging, having one's head banged against the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And I think what Bob was pointing at, which is presence is the way out, because presence allows us to be with how it is rather than reinforce me being the architect of the universe and being able to arrange it how I think it should be.
Yeah, rather than to try harder, that's actually the way out is present.
Yes, instead of trying harder.
Just one more bang of the head against the wall will do it, right?
Yes, all my experience has shown me otherwise.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, let's bring on our next caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi.
Hi there. Caught me off guard to get on. I was enjoying that conversation so much. I guess I have a question, actually, if that's okay. When I started looking at anger in particular, I grew up in a household where it wasn't really okay to express anger. And what I see is when anger comes up, I see that there's a conversation about someone's not doing it right, or they're like breaking some unspoken rule, which I can see connects with conditioning around the standards it holds me to as well. My question is about when about sorry. When ego is telling me I can't be angry, when it's sort of a natural thing arising in the body, versus, I don't know what versus. I guess that's what I'm looking at right now, because it feels like a trap of like you can't be angry when that sometimes naturally arises, and I guess that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, so let me see if I'm tracking. There is so you grew up in a household that anger wasn't allowed, so you're not allowed to express anger or even experience anger. And in watching the process of getting angry, you can see that, and this is such a powerful insight because it's true for all of us, that what conditioning does to me is what I project outward, right? So if I'm not allowed to do something and someone else does something, then it's that resentment of how can they get to do it when I'm not allowed to do it, right?
Right.
Right. I mean, and that works in so many ways. It's however it is, whatever standards we're held to and beaten up over, when someone else is not held to those standards, we can almost watch the displaced projection of the judgment and criticism and the self-hate externally produced. So that's one process which is very powerful to see, that perhaps if we're not listening to the conversation in conditioned mind and what they do to us when we've gotten to this place of clarity, how would we be when someone does something that we're not allowed to do, right? There's a certain freedom in it to explore that. And so the question you're asking is, if there's energy in the body that arises labeled as anger, that is a natural energy, then how to work with that, especially if you've been conditioned to believe that that energy cannot be indulged, right?
Right. And can I add one thing right there? Life delivered me something yesterday, some content, where I felt anger, and I was actually able to watch that whole process. And what I saw is there's a point where that anger actually, ego turns it on me instead of on the other person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, here's an interesting step, and you might want to explore it and see, which is, I've always looked at this, the precept of, it doesn't say not to get angry, it is not to be angry. So there's nothing against anger. In fact, none of the precepts have anything against anything, right? It's just a place or framework to explore. I think that the confusion often is that if we allow anger to arise, we will act from it.
Yep.
Right, that's what we're conditioned to. Why should you not be angry? Because if you have all that energy of life force in your body, you're going to say or do something that is unfortunate. And most people do, because as you said, that energy is controlled by the conditioned process for its benefit. And so we actually don't have any practice in having that energy and just having that energy and looking at it and exploring it and containing it. It has to be either repressed or dissipated.
Yes.
And
yes.
So the exploration could be, it's what Karen was talking about. It immediately gets focused on what did that other person do or what did I do, rather than stepping out of that dualistic process of separation and just looking at, well, this arose. So instead of affirming it or denying it, how can I have it? That's what conditioning doesn't allow us to do, right? Just be with it, however it is, and get skillful over time in having the energy and then having a choice about what that energy gets used for.
Okay. Okay.
That
yeah,
was a lot.
That's, no, that's great, and I'll be able to listen to it a number of times. But I mean, it's so connected to fear and so many things that I saw that the transcending fear, because it's that ego fear of losing control in that it, you know, it that's its story, is that I would lose control if I went into that anger because it's an uncomfortable, unfamiliar place for me.
Yes. And so picking up the recorder and actually vocalizing what's going on for you is a good way to get in touch with what's really going on for you and to build those pathways to say that instead of acting out of it, instead of reacting from it or trying to avoid it or control it or whatever it is that the conditioned system would do with that energy, you start to have it for yourself by picking up the recorder and going, I'm angry. This is what's going on for me. Here's what I'm hearing. Here, whatever the conversation. And that allows you to be in relationship with the energy rather than being in relationship with conditioned mind because you have that energy. It's a shift. It's a shift already.
Yep. Yeah, that's so great. That's so great. And I've been working with that since the fear retreat, transcending fear retreat, because like, there's this part that doesn't want the talking about what is so when it's not a certain way to get on the recorder. So I'm practicing with getting, like, thinking of that and remembering to do that in the moment.
Yes. Yeah, and even if you didn't do it in the moment, to do it in whenever the moment it occurs to you, do it, right? Because
true.
You can summon that energy just by turning the attention to the story.
So true. Yes.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Okay.
Thank you, Kate.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Shwini, that was indeed wonderful. And I think we've got time for one more caller, so here we go.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Oh, my gosh, this has just been such an amazing show, and the reason I know that I have to listen to it again is because I kept getting distracted, even though I'm doing the same thing that I always do every morning when I listen to the show. So I think there's some really good stuff here.
Yeah, we always know when we're distracted that the nuggets are for us, right? Ego so
exactly.
Doesn't want you to hear it. Yeah.
Yes. So thank you to everybody for that. When I look at underneath anger, there is always fear. And since we know that fear is ego and ego is an illusion, how does that little circle work together?
Uh-huh. Well, how are you seeing it?
Well, I'm seeing that the anger and the fear are attached to stories. And, and if I move the energy through my body without a story, there's nothing wrong. And without judgment, because anger is also precipitated by judgment.
Uh-huh. So can you give me an example, Laura, of how those two go together for you?
Sure. If I'm upset with something that's going on in the world, say something political or something like that, then I see that I'm upset because I'm afraid for myself or I'm afraid for someone else or I'm afraid for the environment or something. And so, Does that work?
Yeah. So, I wish we could do this on a longer conversation because there's so much to explore in that. But here's an interesting process that we've actually looked at through the Conscious Compassionate Action movement, right? That what arises for you initially is out of love and out of caring. And then there's a process where that energy of love gets taken over to separate you. If separation is ego, then fear is what you experience because you've moved into an identification.
Instead of staying in compassion?
Instead of staying in compassion or love or acknowledging the acknowledging and accepting how it is from which love acts rather than ego.
Uh-huh. Oh, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm.
It's right, just something to consider.
Okay.
Yeah, because ego is, the word ego is separation, right? So separation is caused we talk about this as stepping out of life, right? Something outside of life. So as soon as we get to a place of judgment about how something is, judgment is also ego, right? They're all just attributes of the process of identification with the illusion of a self separate from life. So we just recognize that that is the movement we're making. But the point that the conditioned system keeps us in, or the focus, as you said, is on the content. So now I'm going to have to solve for how I take care of myself and how I take care of the environment and feel the impotence of all of that and feel the overwhelm of all of it and the anger towards the people who are causing me to feel this way. And the story is just kind of, you know... But yeah, yes, exactly. And so to stay with the first impulse of care is an acceptance of how it is, from which there's potentially a different response possible.
Yes, because that whole story, ego, moving into those processes is also a distraction from actually being present and seeing what is possible.
Yes. Well, and I think that's why we do an awareness practice, right? So something arises. I don't know, I was just reading about the law of three recently, right? There's affirming forces, negating forces, and reconciling forces. And in conditioned mind, it's always opposite. It's always dualistic. It's either affirming or negative, right? You either deny something or you affirm it. But the ability to stay present to both those forces arising for that third force of how can I be with the fact that it's painful and there's love.
Mm-hmm.
That in acceptance is where those forces of affirmation and negation or denial get reconciled, right?
Yes. Yes, because that's where there's nothing wrong.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. Yes, exactly. That's where there's nothing wrong. But the story is so fast that we leave that place of presence to what our experience is and move into the story of how it should be and how it shouldn't be and what this means for me and all of that.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. That was a fast exposition, but...
I'll listen a few times.
Well, the end of the show prompts a different kind of interaction, right?
All right.
Thank you,
Laura. Well, Shuni, that seemed really helpful to me.
Brings
us to the end of another wonderful show. And our assignment for today is, what do you do to feel afraid?
Okay. Well,
here we go.
Seems we're hitting all the big guns. Fear, anger.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Chris. Yeah, do take care.
And talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Go happy, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.